So we're here in Avas Reya, and we had just gotten through with the klolim and so on, the different klolim, and now we are holding by the next one, Tfilas HaShachar, Kishchol Reb Loz, and so on. I'd like to just go back a bit and talk about a nekuda. I think we spoke a little bit about it, but I'd like to speak a little bit more by Richas on it. And that is the whole musig of Klal Gadol B'Torah, which seems to us strange. Obviously it doesn't mean that we are, this is the only important thing or more important and so on. We spoke a little bit about it. I want to be misamic a little bit more on this Indian. There's a Sefri in Hazinu, and there's two memories of Rabbi Yehuda that about this that are different than each other. One inyan is, it says that a person should always be la'olam havik kainis divretayre klolim and moitzion pratim. That a person should always be kainis divretayre klolim and moitzion pratim. It doesn't say any reason for it. It just says, it goes on a pasuk Yarav Kamot Likhi, and it says that Yarav is Lashon Kanaini, meaning to barter, to trade. Moshlech Adam Oim Lachaver Proiti Salazu, Al Arifli Salazu. You use the word Arifli Salazu. Kach Havikainis Sevatari Kolom Upirit Umotzin Ketipa Malolo. So Yarav Kamot Likhi is just like rain. My assumption is, it comes in a big bulk, and then it absorbs a lot of water and brings it out. And tau is the greatest individuation, or making the smallest elements out of it. So it says, doesn't say anything here in any way about why or what and when. It just says the pasuk is mamshlet to mutter and to tal, because it's giving you that inyan of divrei Torah. You should be machnes kolim and moitzi pratim. Later on, quite a bit later on in that sif, it's a long sifri. Over there it says Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, if you can be kindness at pratim, it will get you tired, and you won't know what to do. So it's like somebody who tries to learn all the details of halacha is going to just get very weary of it. It's very, very difficult. And also, when something comes up to do, you can never really know what to shtel to. Marshal Melach Shalach Lekesri, Betzorach Meida Zuzi, or Masayim Zuzi, Haitza. So just like if somebody, a king, is going someplace and he needs a large sum, let's say $100,000 for expenses, and he takes it in pennies, it's going to be very, very difficult to lug it. Veni Yodea Malasos, I'm not sure exactly how that shells too, but if he mitzav voices some sella, Poyrit Demetzchom Akshayirza. If he makes a seller out of it, he can take it wherever he wants. Now, the interesting point is, a seller is not obviously a lot of putas together. One's kesef, one's the choshes. So it's a very different type of currency. But I think that Rabbi Yehuda is saying two memories. And the second one is a very, very practical one. It just says, listen, it's very difficult. It's pedagogically not sound to learn a lot of details, because A, you're missing the, it's way too difficult to learn all the details. And B, you're missing the ability to apply it, because details are very hard to apply. So the first memory of his needs some clarification. What is it that is, what is it exactly that this inyan of being machnes kolim and moitzi pratim? This is something that is different. The second one doesn't talk about the moitzi and pratim, because that's obvious. The main point is it's difficult to lug around a lot of money like that, and therefore he is needs to make a Bitcoin out of it. I guess this was before credit cards, so you have to lug the coins around. So, but the second half, what to do with it when you get somewhere? I mean, that's obvious. That doesn't need to be said. So I would like to understand the first one as being of a different meaning, something else. I would like to try a little bit also to understand. In Maamar Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us Aseres HaDibris, and also Aseres HaDibris they include somehow everything else, and of that we only heard the first two Mipi HaGevura at the end of the day. So yes, it was because we said we couldn't do it and so on, but it was hearing the first two Mipi HaGevura was a significant element of it. And then you have Aseres HaDibris, which is an entity for Atzmoy. If it's just a down payment on the Torah, why does Aseres HaDibris need to stand separately? At the end of the day, it's like a Torah, Kach Baruch gives us the first chapter in the Torah, and then, you know, the rest will be coming, there'll be a serial. The Gemara says also that they used to actually say Aseres HaDibris every day. It was appropriate, except the Mevatlim Pnei Aminim, that they said this is the only thing given at Sinai. So the Mashmos is Aseres HaDibris has a chshivas in itself. There's a reason why today also it's meaningful to say Aseres HaDibris, and we just have a problem that people will misunderstand it. But if Aseres HaDibris was just a down payment, it's like Moshma Davadayma, I start learning with somebody, I learn one Mishnah with the person. I learn one Mishnah because that's all he could hear at that time. That one Mishnah doesn't become any special standing. It's the first of the many Mishnahs I'll be learning. But that Mishnah, so Aseres HaDibris also, it was too difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to teach. For us, it was too difficult to hear the whole Torah. So he said, okay, let's start with Aseres HaDibris, and then we'll go on. And the fact that Aseres HaDibris has a mind by itself, because it includes everything else, is it tells me something about the nature of the Maamar Har Sinai and so on. So I'd like to refocus on those words, kainsam and moitziam. When a person's yachas to divrei Torah goes on two planes. On one level, I'm a makabel. I receive Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one realm of his yachsus that I have to divrei Torah. And the second realm is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the ability to paskin. Lo b'shamayim hi. So the actual lo b'shamayim hi is not, it's actually a lot more complex than that. For every single person, every single day, we get up in the morning, make Beis HaTorah, we speak about Nosan Lana Teres Emes, Noisan HaTorah. We speak about being mitzarif to Mekabli Torah Min HaShemayim, and that Gosha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us Min HaShemayim. That's one part. And then in Halacha, we're told Le'bashmayim, and whatever we pass, whatever the Bezen Shalmat to pass, that becomes Halacha and Psak, and we have to stick with that. So Torah has in itself two elements. In the Maral in many places asks, how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, created a world that's many? And many, he himself brings a few tirutz in a few places, but he brings this as a shaila the ancient philosophers asked, and he speaks about it in a few places, and he gives different tirutz, so to speak, different things to answer it with. The common thread is that in this world is a bria, which means that by definition, mitzad its implementation, mitzad what it is, it's a ribui, it is many, 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 and all of and the world of Maisa, the world of this world is a world of pratim, mitzad deshoirish, it comes from one, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to point out something parallel in the natural world, in the natural chachmas. The ancient Greeks saw philosophy and science as being part of the same discipline. And their typical science went something along the lines of, why is it that the moon circles around the earth? Because a smaller body likes to be around a bigger body. All that is, all that draws everything to it goes round and round. Those type of svaras that are kind of silly to us today. They seem very, very philosophical when you can get out and do experiments. All of the svaras of things that rot, things that this, and all of those things today are quantified in a laboratory and with no philosophy to it and so on. But the truth is that is also quite shortchanging it the way we understand it. Our world, Olam HaMaisa, is the world where things are implemented, and it's the world of Pratim. And therefore, you can't just say that the reason why this is like this is because of some broad sweeping philosophical statement. It can be measured, it can be quantified, we have a formula for it, and we can duplicate it, and so on. So in anything that we apply to this world, we live with the world of Pratim. And therefore, each point has its own science to it. Each point has its own, a set of circumstances that cause it to behave as it does. But there's a sheirish. As a person stands back and he looks and he says, okay, then these are all pratim. There seems to be a big sweeping concept that governs everything, where things circle around other things, where things seem to want to go back to their root. You see the birds, you see the fish, you see this, you see that. Those are all things that, we need to understand there is going to be a process that allows it to happen. If a bird can fly around the world and find the place where it comes from, we're going to describe a process and explain which neurons were involved and how it measured where, what, and when. But we're also going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria desire to go home. So we have a klal mitzad de bayre and protim mitzad de nivra. In Olam HaAsiya, in our world, in the physical material world, things are lemaisa tachlis, and each and every detail becomes meaningful. Because our world is a world of details. If something is left out, one tiny hair, it doesn't work. It has a very, very specific mahalach. And then, when we try to extrapolate back to the Shirish, it converges back on a single point. A mashal, in a very rough way, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, when he gives time and mitzvahs, almost all the timing of the mitzvahs are to express the achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to prevent things that seem to counter it. That's the klal gadol for all mitzvahs in every way. Now, we all know that you can't live a halachic life just with the statement that everything is there to promote achdus HaBorei. We would be basically Ivan Kolatura Kula if we had that statement as our halachic guide. The halachic guide works on pratim. So, the machnison of Divrei Torah, the hachnos of Divrei Torah is the intake and focusing on what it looks like if it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And mikoyach that, a person needs to understand the Torah shtick. And that's a klal. That's similar to the Rashi who pointed out the Kedoshim to you, that Rashi says, the Ramban, that says that there's an overarching mitzvah to be Kaddish. That's the Sheirish of all the mitzvahs of Kedusha, and, you know, Bekarshas and so on. So the Ramban gives us that sense over there. So mitzvah, where it comes from, it's something that is one, and I need to understand the Sheirish of it. And mitzad, the application of it, I need to specifically apply each thing to each place and each time. And that's why in halacha itself, you have one halacha. Basically, you can have one din shacharach. Its application varied in many different situations because that's the reality of it. Every situation was slightly different, and male halacha applied itself differently. So the klal of being koinis, Divrei Torah klolim and Motziim Pratim, is in the first case that he mentions, is not just a klal. It's not a repeat of the second klal, where he's going to be talking about, for practical reasons, you want to be able to not force him to, you don't want it to force the person to learn tons and tons and tons of Pratim, but it's a lot more to do with the Mitzias of Torah. That was a reason why that's a reason why these Tanoim went looking for a klal in Torah. In other words, I have part of my chiyuv to be mekabel Torah is to be mekabel it the way it was given. To be mekabel it along the lines of what's unique about being mekabelit. I need to focus on the Kabbalah Shabbai. The Maimed Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Aseres HaDibros, and they somehow include all the other mitzvahs, even though the mitzvahs, I mean, a lot of it is a long stretch. It's not possible in any way to have learned all those mitzvahs. And I don't think it was a sample, but rather it was a certain perspective on Torah, of the machnisim of Torah. Kabbalah Torah is the maimed of receiving Torah, and in that sense we need to dehear all of Torah as one. So we have Seres HaDibros, which really boiled down to two Dibros, to Nochon Lo Yilacha, which is really one. They would never do Bechot, to Nochon Lo Yilacha. At the end of the day, the Kabbalah is like the Gemara Dashmi, Pi Roya Echad Nitnu, that everything comes from one Roya and from one Sheresh. That's how we Mekabel Torah. Later, when we, having that's giving Torah to Seres HaDibros and having it boiled down to Noicha Le'ilacha and having a Noicha Le'ilacha itself boiled down to Diba Echad is vital to preserve the sense of Klolius of Torah. And that's why it's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus reflects itself in that inyan. On the other hand, once I was Mekabel Torah, now the being pirated is up to me, meaning I need to work out as many applications as I can to many, many different dinyanim, and that's my chelek of it. That's the klal prat, I think, that he talks about, and that's why there was such a drive on the Amoraim, to identify a type of pasik that is unifies all. I want to point out something else. We have Reb Akiva and Ben Azai are the two people here that said Klolim in the Torah. We have the Mandiomar in the Yaakov, who says that it's something that is Ben Pazi, he says, but the other two Mandiomim are Rabbi Akiva and Ben Zoima, or Ben Azai, two different Gersoas. It's interesting that both of them had a certain kiyum. All three of them had a certain kiyum in this world of klolas, I would call it. Rabbi Akiva was who gave his entire life away for it. In other words, the b'chol nafshecha was Rabbi Akiva's mitzias. Ben Azai was somebody who never got married because his entire life was just Torah. Ben Zoima, who was one of those who was nichas the paradis and didn't come out well. All of these are in Yanim that are something that is a certain level of reducing everything. There's nothing else but it. In other words, in the kiyum of bechol nafshecha, and the bekiyum in bechol, all the becholes that you have over there are a kiyum that this is koil everything. In other words, they themselves were somebody that was completely shaku in it. It says also about, you know, the darg of Torah of klolos is mitzad the shayrus shaboy, and the darg of protis is mitzad the application of it. I want to add a few nekudas, I guess, in another area, which I think is important as well, in the relationship between what we call the Pnimius HaTorah and the Nigel and the Nista. So we just seem to think of Nigel and Nista as being the one, you know, kind of two separate Torahs. One is a hidden Torah, one is an open Torah. One is a Torah that you can learn with kids in yeshiva, and one is sort of you sit in some dark alley someplace, some Kabbalah center of sorts, learn Kabbalah, whatever. The truth is that the difference in the two is Torah of Nigla deals with that which is the outside chelik, the outermost chelik, which is our world of Torah and mitzvahs, and therefore it deals with pratim, pirtei halachis, and piskei halachis. Basically, we each halacha becomes nifsak. It you know, we isolate it and we give it its own standing. Mitzad the pnimius haTorah, what you're trying to do is reduce everything to certain anhugas. What Kabbalah does in the big picture is it has a set of anhugas that come together, and you know, in 10 anhugas that together form one anhuga, one big anhuga, and the tachlis of applying which sphere this come from, which zivuk does this cause, and so on. All of that is to show you the chibur pnimi of all of these pratim. It's how all of these pratim come together. That's what we're trying to do. That's something which is a which is miyuchet to this chelik haTorah as opposed to the monigel chelik haTorah. This is the machnisam. This is the mitziam. Yes.
Question, but it still has to touch the maisa.
Yeah.
It's not there.
I'm sorry?
The nigla also has to affect the maisa of a person. It's not theory.
The nigla certainly affects. The nigla are all the details in how to do something.
How does it touch my world, my practistic world?
What do you mean? I don't get the question.
In halacha, you understand it clearly, right?
Yes.
This is halacha. The getting here is very clear.
Right.
That's muta, that's asur, right. Whatever it is. But in Nistar, it has to come down into our world, right? Otherwise, not Torah.
Correct. So the chachma is to understand the chibur of the two. You're right. You're very right. And that's why the chibur between the two is the vital piece. In other words, what are all the maisim coming together to? Let's go back to one of the examples here. The Maharal has been saying that all these inyanim v'afra kamochas are tzel malikim, and it's all part of tzel malikim, and so on. We spoke about it a bit. The point is, tzelim elokim is the sense that rises above any details. So, l'moshel, when I meet a person, so one way of, sort of recording that meeting is by writing down evaluations of different pratim. So he seems to have this level of intelligence, he seems to have this level of empathy, he seems to have this breadth of knowledge, so on. And then you ask, well, what impression did he make? The whole person together, what is it? And it's tselem, is something that supersedes any details. The details together, without the details you don't have the totality of it, but the totality is not just a summation of the details. It's a whole new picture itself. It's like the pixels that you have on a picture, let's say. So the pixels that you have, each one without the pixels of paint, ink, or whatever it is, you don't have a tsura. But just a lot of pixels don't make a tsura. Something more than that, something that's the klal of all of these pieces, is different. You know, one of the things that fascinates people with impressionist painting is that paintings were always kind of felt to be important, that they be as accurate as possible and detailed as possible, and so on. And then somebody said, one second, I can give you a picture, a painting that will not contain in any great detail the points that you saw, but there's something about the whole painting as a whole that leaves you with the impression of that place, that sense of it, the sense of the clean, sweeping beauty of a beach, the majesty of a mountain. Those are all things that I can give you the klal, and without giving you the pratim first. I have the pratim in my mind, I get a sense of what was the klal like, and then I do it. So there is the whole Torah, the understanding of Kabbalah, of Nista, is the understanding of the big picture as opposed to the pratim. In a certain sense, it's almost, let's play it back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Ritzonus. So, in the Torah of 613 mitzvahs, tons and tons and tons of details, and tremendous amount of Rabbanus. We all consider those Ritzonus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if I have 100 Ritzonus, it means that I have many pieces of personality. I want money because I have Chemes HaMamon. I want food a lot because I like food a lot. I want this because of this. I want this because of revenge. I want this because of this. All of these things are things that are, if I have many desires, many wishes, they're not related to each other, then I say he's got many whims. And I see the person having many, like, even something wrong, you know, the person's all over the place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has 613 mitzvahs that are listed, tons of details that we need drushes for, and an almost staggering amount of abundance. So does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want so many things from us? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wants so many things from us, does that mean that his wanting, that his, you know, is all over the place? It's all these things and a lot. So we really need to ask ourselves, about Karachach, we have to say that all of these are details that add up to one Inyan called Ratzon Hashem. And if I can trace it somehow, and it's not only a question of knowing the right vocabulary for it, but if I have the feel and sense of it, where all of these details sort of come together, That's where I have that. I'm in tune with the Pnimis and Mitzvahs, with the Tzelem Elokim. In other words, if I understand what are the elements that convey how these elements integrate to convey Tzelem Elokim, I'm in a whole different world than the person who just mutches each detail and sees it as an end to itself. That's the difference between the two. So the Zeklal Godel Batera is, it's an important, it's a mitzvah that belongs to the machnisam in with klolus rather than the mitzian with protim. That's what I think the Zeklal Godel over here means. So the Maimon Har Sinai, it's interesting. There are quite a few details that we have here. The Maimon Har Sinai was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, and he said, Anoicha Hashem Elokecha. Anoicha Hashem Elokecha means that the entire Torah boils down to the word Anoichi. It's sort of, if you picture like a center point, that everything comes together. And the Anoichi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying is the Etzem Gilui at Har Sinai. Chazal Meramz it, they say, Ano Nafshis Kasvis Yahivis. I put myself into it, so to speak. I wrote it, so to speak, and so on. But it means I wrote my very essence into it. So it means that when we heard it, Mipia Gvura, we heard that Nekuda that includes everything. Let's take a simple klal, a simple expression, and we'll understand a little bit better. It's not so difficult. If somebody tells you they're older, they're not married, they really, really are desperate to get married, and you would say, why? So a person could list a whole list of things. It's a little ditty with A and with Aleph and Beis and Gimel and Dalet, and for all the good reasons to get married. But we understand that marriage supersedes any, all of these things are branches of marriage. But marriage is a musik, and we understand that. Torah has to be the same way. Torah is a musik of godliness, of Elikus. This is Tzelem Elokim. It comes in details, and we implement it in details, we get in details, but they can't. So at Maimon Har Sinai, they were Megala the Klolim rather than just the Pratim. In Parshas Behar, I've said it a few times, Rashi says that just like the Pratim were given Har Sinai, just like Shemitah, the Klolim and Pratim were given Har Sinai, so too everything else. That's what it means. It means there was a Klal and a Prat. Both were given Har Sinai, not only the Pratim, but also the Klolim. Another point, it says that go back to a second. The reason why it's meduyik is because if I tell you I don't have time to give you all the details, I'll just give you a rule of the thumb that I hear. But if I give you all the details and make you memorize it, and then tell you that I'm going to now give you a rule, what for? You stop me with the details. What I need the rule for? The klolim and pratim were both pieces. The Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayos, when he speaks about how the mitzvahs were given, he says the mitzvah upirusha were given to Moshe b'Sinai. So let's understand this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe shivat yom teshuva b'sukkos, and then he also gave him a whole description of what a sukkah looks like. Where the schach comes from, what pasels and so on. So why are they not of equal stature? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe a detailed shaharach. Not only Moshe as kol mitzvahs. So the Rambam says that I need to understand it. The mitzvah of a sukkah stei shuvos yom is b'sukkah stei shuvos yom. That's the mitzvah. And that incorporates, encapsulates an entire meaning to itself. Now we also know that there are details, and that was also given, but don't put together the Sukkot Teshuvah with the details. And that's probably the real reason, the Pnimi, is why the Torah Shabbat Peh wasn't given in together, why it was written out in the Torah. And the one answer is that it would take too much room and it wouldn't be, and so on. Okay. But the Pshat is, it's a certain relationship. They're not the same thing. Torah Shebekhtav is be'ikah klolim, and Torah Shebaal Peh is be'ikah pratim. That's the way the two go together. And Torah, so that which was the mitzvah, or in other words, the klal, became Torah Shebekhtav. That which is the pratim is Torah Shebaal Peh, and each one has its own maimed. Each one has what it's miyuchad for. You can't write Torah Shebaal Peh, you can't say Baal Peh Torah Shebekhtav. Each one has its own yichud and has to stay that way. Okay, any questions, any points?
So I still don't quite get it, because it would seem to me that the Torah Shebaal Peh has more volume when you think into it.
The klal is always what it says in the pasuk. If you take a look in the Rambam, the Rambam actually tried to mimic that in Mishnah Torah. At the beginning of every section, he says, these are the mitzvahs that are included here, and he gives the psukim. And then he says, and now I will explain it to you. So all of these details are the explanation of that mitzvah that's given as a pithy statement, as sort of a sentence, a minimal sentence.
And when a person moves back and he sees the whole picture, he's misspoiled? Is that
It's for many things. It's first of all in the chibur to Ribbono Shel Olam that that becomes the chibur to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's one point. When is chaba to Ribbono Shel Olam by the klal sheboy, not by the prat sheboy. It's also gives me a different insight into things that are not written, things that are, what we would call the Fnimish Rosh Adin, or, you know, like a lot of Benoch HaMelech, Vafrech Kamocha. You can't possibly write every situation that you have to help somebody else, but at the end of the day, Kol Zachnis, Vafrech Kamocha. If you need to learn anything, you have a Tzalm Elokim, take from there. I don't need to give you all the details.
Also,
in Mishnayos and Gemara? Also, there's a reason why Mishnayos are written. I once was like, it says, Ein lemeidim in aklolas. So why give the klal? If you can't learn from a klal, why give the klal? The answer is because the klal has a validity of its own. It doesn't. The klolas is not. If the klal was just a mnemonic device, so every time you pass an halacha, just remember Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, that's fantastic. But if it doesn't work all the time, then that can't be the purpose. I mean, it's not good to give a shortcut in halacha that's right 85% of the time. The point of it is that the klal itself is a perspective and understanding what the mitzvah is. It's like a lot of times people will darshan when they'll say Shtigl Torah, they will show you that the pasuk has the same flavor as the Shtigl is saying, or says it almost clearly. It's not as if they're darshaning psukim as such. I mean that we don't have the power to darshan psukim, but it's appropriate that if we properly gotten the details right, then they will resonate with the klal of the mitzvahs. That's what that type of Torah tries to do. Briskarov has a time. He said, this is what the pasuk says, this pasuk says this. They're not darshing from a pasuk halacha, but they're explaining how the flavor of the klal fits very well with it.
And the Rav isn't saying necessarily that it's the Torah Shebekhtav that has this the ability to mechaber us to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's just the fact that it's a klal. So if we have a klal and Torah Shebaal Peh also will be able to access that as well?
Well, without Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not going to... It's just like the Greeks were laughable that they tried to get to the Klal without the Prat. It's kind of, of all the weird things, you know, like, why don't you just go and experiment a bit and look around? So they tried to, just by armchair sitting back thing, the same way a person who dashes just the philosophy of Torah. Torah is about rectifying the world, peace, goodness, whatever you want to say, and they're not shy after the details. But a person who's shy after the details and doesn't see a bigger picture behind it, doesn't see the anoichi. Anoichi is not seivel any breaking down. Anoichi is a totality. If a person doesn't extrapolate from that, a person is missing something much deeper. So either case is missing something. Okay. So a chag sameach, and yeah, best Hashem. We'll see you next. All the best. Bye.